Pelicans win 124-114 over the Philadelphia 76ers. Before we get in the show, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Let's do it.
First took away. That's what this picture one is worth.
Chaz, Lito, Chris, we're all showing the show tonight, presented by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, located at 918 Point Street by the Superdome. Give them a call at 504-523-5413. If you or someone you know has been involved in an accident, Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk. Chris, kind of I'll start with you tonight. Zion Williamson goes perfect from the field. 11 of a. Oh, wow. He doesn't. I just looked at the. I just looked at the box score. It's 11 of 12.
Bad start.
Oh, no.
I thought he was 11 of 11.
He was.
No, nah, I think he got. Yeah, he had a block.
I'm just looking at ESPN right now. They said 11 of 12. But either way, we'll say he went perfect tonight. 33 points. What did you see from him tonight?
CJ McCollum being back out there.
Really? Do you think? No, seriously. Do you think CJ McCollum really, really opened it up for pause for Zion? I paused it.
I don't know about all that, but I think Embiid not being out there as well. Like, I mean. Paul Reed, while he's a solid defender, I don't know if I necessarily can consider him like, you know, a rim protector. And ironically, he probably would be the kind of guy. I mean, we actually saw him for certain possessions guard Zion. So they didn't have anyone to really protect the rim. And when you have Brandon out there having the night that he had, them having to figure out who was going to guard Jonas just, you know, getting into the restricted area whenever he chose, and then having CJ out there consistently to whether it be stretching the floor or, you know, he made some really good passes throughout the game, but specifically in the first quarter, really didn't force anything. They moved the basketball pretty well. Zion wasn't looking at three, four, five, you know, five defenders at once. He was looking at one-on-ones or, you know, getting past his initial defender and then finishing at the rim or getting to the free throw line. So I think CJ helped a lot. Zion looked like he was going through the motions. It was that easy of a night, I think, at certain stretches.
Chaz, do you think with the addition of CJ McCollum, we're going to talk about him a little bit more later in the show, to Chris's point, really kind of helped Zion's game and just more creating of just more driving lanes, right, for Brandon, for Zion, and to really get in the teeth of the defense?
I do think it helps some. I also think even with Embiid, this is like one of those matchups that kind of favored the Pelicans just by style of play. And I think the Pelicans tend to have an advantage with slow teams, especially slow teams that are a little smaller. So once I saw Joel wasn't in the lineup, I kind of knew that, like, all right, the Pelicans should have a really good puncher's chance for tonight's game. And I want to start off the show crediting someone. Yo, to me, this is just me. I thought this was Brandon's best game of the season.
Explain why. I was going to talk about it, but explain why. Yeah.
I thought Brandon took one bad shot the entire game, and it came in the third quarter. I thought Brandon attacked the paint relentlessly. He finished at the rim, got to the free throw line, knocked down his free throws, didn't take a single ill-advised three, no middies, no dumb Zion post-ups. You know what I'm saying? And I guess I gotta credit the staff for that, because if you look at how the game started, I would have thought that this was going to be one of those, all right, Brandon, it's your turn, then it's Zion's turn, then it's this person's turn, because that's how it started. But I feel like Brandon attacking downhill, he's shooting really good attacking downhill, and this is all you want to see. This is no one is saying remove the mid-range shot completely from your arsenal. It would be nice, but that's more, it's not a very effective, you know, regular season thing. Shooting the threes, getting to the rim, you know, getting to the free throw line, playing with pace. That's what you want to see. He was good on the boards. This is what you want to see. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you're not going to ask him to take like six shots a night. That's insulting. You're not going to ask him to do that. But I feel like that style of play was so complimentary that at one point, JV was like 5 for 7 or 7 for 10, something crazy. Brandon was like maybe like 5 for 6, Zion 7 for 7. CJ had maybe the most shots at the time, but they were all good shots. Everybody was taking good shots, playing good basketball.
Lita, let's hear your thoughts on Zion and also Brandon tonight.
You muted, Lito.
Oh, Lito's muted. Hell of a start to the stream.
My bad. I feel like both are great. To be honest, I think this is how you set the tone from, you know, the leaders of the team. I think Brandon, you know, I made a video this offseason saying that Brandon would be the engine of this vehicle in determining how it drives. He would have to take a back seat, shot attempts wise, in order for everybody else to thrive. And I'm not just saying he take a back seat for Zion shots. I'm saying he would have to tone down a couple shot attempts for JV, for Hawk, for her. You know what I'm saying? Like it's in that kind of realm. But I think BI played a masterful game tonight. He's not probably never gonna see 7 shot attempts again from Brandon. And you know, like, that's fine. Based on what the score was, they didn't really need him do that. Welcome back, CJ. 37% tonight. I mean, and Zion, Justin, at some point, I want to talk about Zion's rebounding. I know you're not asking me that right now, but
I can't wait to talk about that. I cannot wait. Because I know he has 8 rebounds tonight. I think 4 of them just legitimately fell in his lap. We're going to talk about that. We can talk about that. But to me, I thought Zion was more decisive offensively tonight. I thought, like, when he was catching, he was attacking right off the bat. And that wasn't just Zion. I thought just in general, I thought Brandon had some good attacks. I thought CJ had some good attacks. I thought Hawkins had some good attacks. Herb had some good attacks. And then also, Lito, Jonas Valanciunas. I thought he was a focal point tonight. He goes 8 of 9 from the field. Like, no one's talking about him. Goes 8 of 9 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. Only 6 rebounds, but 19 points plus 18. Like, I thought he was an actual focal point tonight. I thought that was their best overall game.
Well, when Brandon and Zion both have 6 assists apiece, that you're able to include people who aren't necessarily a star on the team. Like, Jonas is not a guy who he's not going to dribble a ball down the court himself, get himself in position to get a shot. Somebody else got to be able to do that for him.
Right. Ross, so this was the stat that when I first gave the question to Chris about him being perfect. So Stat Mamba on Twitter says that Zion Williamson had 33 points on 100% field goal against the 76ers tonight. That's the 5th most points in a game without a miss in NBA history. 33 points.
11 to 12 from the line.
And that's the thing. 12 field goal attempts and 12 free throw attempts.
That's probably the most. I mean, for me, just seeing him up there comfortable making free throws. I mean, when you look at some of these really close games we've lost and you go back and he went 5 of 9, you know, 6 of 11, 4 of 9, stuff like that. Those points add up over the game. Look, I mean, I don't think this was a Chad said it. I think this was kind of a matchup that fits, especially without Embiid. So kudos to him for going in there and eating. Like, this is a situation where you've got an opportunity not to play with your food, get a big lead, and go win a game that you should win with a fully healthy lineup. This is a game you should effortlessly win. Obviously, it kind of threw their foot off the gas at the end there. I mean, I thought one of the interesting things I saw was there seemed like a point in the game where every time Zion drove, he was hitting JV for a little dump off. Yeah. So that, you know, you like to see that. I mean, you know, everybody always bitches and moans about, oh, there's no space with this. You know, we got a bunch of dudes that can't shoot. Nope, there's not enough space. It's like, well, when Zion's just beating his man off the dribble consistently, sure looks like a whole hell of a lot of space for a little drop pass. He beating him off the dribble. I didn't say beating him off. I'm not going to pause that one. I mean, if you can't say the guy beat his man off the dribble.
Man, what you think?
You online, dog.
Chris, you had a show come out last night talking about the Pelicans, you know, December to remember. Obviously, it's still not December, but a good start going into December. Do you think this team can actually get on a run here? The schedule becomes favorable. They're starting to get healthy. We're starting to hear that Trey Murphy might be back either against Chicago or Sacramento. You get CJ McCollum back. There was a scare with Jose Alvarado, but he seems to be okay. Wasn't me. Do you think they're 10-9?
I wasn't at the game. Oh, man. That's what's happening. Whoever was there.
Chris, they're 10-9 right now. Favorable schedule. Do you see this team really honestly getting on a run here and really making some noise here in the West?
I mean, well, it feels like they have all the ingredients too. I mean, it feels like everything is I guess kind of signaling towards that. I mean, when you're talking about Trey coming back in the next upcoming days, when you're talking about CJ already having a game under his belt here, when you talk about him going to play Friday as well, Matt Ryan will be back at some point here.
Another guy, Matt Ryan. Thank you for that.
I don't know. I feel like they'll have a winning record in the month. I don't know necessarily if it will be, you know, the month where they necessarily take off, just because I want to see how with a close to or a completely healthy team, how things are managed, right? I want to see how the minutes are managed. I want to see how the adjustments are made and what players are called upon, what type of different lineups that we haven't seen either this year, last year, or ever do we end up seeing. Do they experiment in good ways or bad ways with the players that are available? And then I think you have a chance to know. The good part for them is that they're playing the type of talents and the type of teams that allow them to do that, fuck it up, and still find a way to win games. So if there's a month for them to do it, I think it needs to be this month. So yeah, I mean, I can't tell you whether or not they're gonna do it or not, but you know.
I mean, so Chaz, you know, let's hear your realistic thought. Wow, 30-34 from the free throw line. That's actually impressive. Trey Murphy's gonna come back. Do you think he? What are your expectations for the first couple of weeks? Because look, you know, Trey's been out for 4 or 5 months. I think people are thinking, hey, when Trey gets back in the lineup, he's gonna light it up. We're gonna be, you know, putting up 130 a night. Do we need to temper expectations here when Trey comes back, or do you think that, you know, the Pelicans are going to take that leap right off the bat?
Yeah, I think you certainly want to temper expectations, but man, two things. One, I thought Zion had a solid game tonight. By Zion standards, I didn't think he had an incredible game. I think anything short of a triple double was a okay game to me, and that ties into this. Yes, you should temper your expectations for Trey coming back, but if it mean I don't gotta see some of these other motherfuckers again, just put the pressure on Trey. Just put the pressure on him, because I don't want to see a couple of these motherfuckers again. I'm tired of seeing them. I don't want to see them no more. I don't want to see Jose no more. I don't want enough. I've had enough of it. I don't want to see this motherfucker on the court anymore.
What? Justin, let me ask you. I'm curious. Why do you ask the question on whether they should what are you labeling as the expectation for Trey?
Well,
like what does temper expectations mean? Like, because I think we all agree he's going to come off the bench. Like,
yeah. Well, I think people are going to think that Trey's going to come off and light it up and average 18, 20 points a night. And I just don't think that's realistic right now. I'm not saying he can't do that, but I'm saying that Trey Murphy hasn't played basketball in 4 months. I got to actually see him today play 5-on-5 in the coaches league. He looks fine. He looks really good. He looks like he's ready to go, but unfair. I think it's unfair to just put these expectations that Trey Murphy's going to come in and we're just going to take off. I think there's a lot more questions rotation wise. You know, who's going to get minutes. Cause like, once again, I don't think I'm watching Jordan Hawkins. I hope minutes are not taken away from Jordan Hawkins. I hope minutes are not taken away from Matt Ryan when he comes back.
All right. That's where I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Because
you hate Matt Ryan. I don't know why.
I don't hate Matt Ryan. But if everybody's excited about what Matt Ryan, we took Matt Ryan off of what was the joke last time? Which has
Bowling Alley.
Matt Ryan do? Driving DoorDash. DoorDash. We took Matt Ryan from driving DoorDash and came out and immediately
this
hit a bunch
of shots.
This is
the biggest fact of the night. I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's not a shot. Because I can shoot. I can shoot. That's here nor there. You know who else can shoot? Trey Murphy. So even though he's not going to be necessarily in the best shape.
My bad, Ross.
I do have expectations because all I'm going to really be looking for is for him to shoot.
Yeah.
Open shots. So if we're getting excited about Matt 40. Ryan coming back, if we're going to get excited about Matt Ryan coming back, then how are we not going to get excited about Trey Murphy coming back and have some high expectations for that?
Lito, what are your thoughts on the Trey Murphy, I guess, hype train?
Shout out to Donald.
Chris, you might have an echo, by the way. I'm just pointing that one out.
Okay.
Dumbass echo. I think immediately he's not going to have an impact.
What the fuck just happened?
Wait, Lito just went out. We're struggling here. Lito, what are you doing, man? What's going on?
That was Chris, man. What's it mean? I feel like, yo, Trey's gonna have an impact on the team eventually. I can't tell you it's gonna be in the first, like, maybe 10 games. But the thing for Trey for me is his impact is a little bit different from others on the team, just basically because of how he stretches the floor. Like he doesn't, if he can just, like, I assume the athleticism, the driving, that will come later, right? What'd you say?
I was shouting out somebody.
What I was about to say, I'm sorry. The athleticism will come back later, right? But the thing is, his shooting is something that is important to this team, and that's something you can't get enough of. And he doesn't want to see, like, you bro, like, he can shoot that bitch from the timeline. It's a regular shot for him, right? Yeah. So you talk about the double team Zion seeing, you talk about like how we played in the zone tonight, right? And look, if you look at the game tonight, I think they shot 34 threes.
No, did they?
I see.
The Pelicans? I think they went 10 for 30.
10 for 30.
They shot 10 for 30, right? But, like, Trey's – think of the additions that Trey will add on to that. That's probably, like, 7-8 threes a game right there. So, you're in the 40 range ballpark of three-point shooting. Attempts. I think that – I'm not saying temper expectations, but I think as the season goes on, you'll see a lot better version of Trey.
Chris, can I ask you this? I went to the game with my brother tonight. So the first two off the bench tonight were Hawkins and Najee. What would your first couple of rotations be with a fully healthy roster? And that means Matt Ryan and Trey Murphy back. Like, who are your first subs and who are they for at the 6-minute mark?
Zeller in first.
I'm gonna give Chris his man's on Cody Zeller, but I want to hear his thoughts early on of, like, who his rotation, who's first subs off the bench would be with a fully healthy roster.
That's a really good question. I don't think that they're at a position in which they would actually, you know what, I feel like they're at a point to where they're still going to be dedicated to minutes with a Zion at the five. So okay. I think if that's the case, then Jonas would probably be the first one out. And then I would bring Jonas and CJ, or maybe Jonas and Brandon, either or one of them, because you're going to want, you know, the other one to run the second unit with Jonas and whoever. And then I would bring in, I guess it depends on the matchup, man. But
let's go Chicago. Let's just go with Chicago.
On average, Chicago. I mean, they're not gonna be fully healthy.
Okay, let's say Sacramento Monday night. Who are your Trey first two off the bench? Trey and who?
Trey and Najee. I really want to say Trey and Hawkins, but I think for this team, it's really important for them to, I think, bring in some kind of defender and some type of energy defender off the bench.
Not Dyson, Chris?
Yeah, but I don't think it's realistic. He was the fourth man off the bench today. Jose got in before he did.
He did. Chaz.
So, I mean, I would, but I don't see that as realistic.
Chaz, who are your first two off the bench when fully healthy?
Who's still on the floor?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, in general, it would, for me, it would
you have the starting five. It's Zion, Jonas, okay. Herb, CJ, and Zion.
For me, it would be probably Trey and depending on Herb foul situation, Trey and Najee. Because Najee, I feel like Najee and Dyson could alternate. But man, this team needs a backup point guard terribly. It needs it terribly. You keep seeing, you know, Dyson ain't, you know, that ain't his lot in life. He does a lot of great things on the defensive end, on the boards. You know, a hell of a defensive player. If Dyson was 6'10", we'd be talking about Dyson like some people talk about Jonathan Isaac. I feel like, you know, before the injuries and shit, because he's that special defensively. But you need, like you saw it again tonight, the script with this team is kind of just out. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you start pressing defensively, it's a struggle to get the ball into the front court. Like, you know, it's you need guys who can really get into the teeth of the defense with just handle and first step alone. And you need some passing IQ out there. And for the, you know, the speed this team wants to play with, I don't see Larry and Jose being some players. I'm like, all right, we got Larry, Jose out there. We're going to get out and transition. And don't get me started on taxation without representation. Better known as Cody Zeller. Don't know him starting on my dogs. But he's not even supposed to be playing, really. Here's the thing. No, he's not even supposed to be playing. So, Chris? But the thing, for when he does play, he does an admirable job most of the time. But you gotta get some dudes out here, like, you know.
Well, look, Chaz, this is what we got, man. This is what I'm saying. So when Trey, give me your two guys first off the bench in 6 minutes. We're playing Sacramento. Who are your first two guys?
It's Trey and Najee. It's Trey and Najee.
I don't agree with Najee. I kind of more agree with Hawkins. Lito, God, yeah.
I forgot about Hawkins. So yeah.
Maybe could you imagine a lineup like if we're gonna have Zion at the five, as Chris said, you got it. Like, fuck defense, bro. Like, you gotta surround him with shooting because. Like, your offense is your defense. Like how are you going to guard Hawkins, Trey, CJ, Brandon, and Zion? Defensively, you switch 1 through 5. You live with the results. That's when Zion's got a rebound. Lito, go ahead.
Chris, how you feel about this? No, you're a big JRE guy.
I thought you were about to ask me a question. Is he a good second big? No, he's not.
Lito, can I get your first two subs?
Yeah, you could have I'll go ahead and give you Trey and I'm gonna put that boy Hawkins out there.
Trey and Hawk. So yeah. Who are you subbing them in for?
I ain't figured that out yet, Justin. You just asked me one question and I was just giving you an answer. Okay. I haven't thought about that. And you know what? It might be Trey and Dyson, to be honest.
Trey and Dyson.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have. So then I'm guessing you can't have Dyson and Herb on the court. Are you gonna have Dyson and Herb on the court at the same time?
I mean, they started them for 7 games, and that shit was pretty damn good.
So you want Dyson, Herb, Zion, Hawk, and Brandon?
I mean, I'm just saying I've seen it work.
I mean, you saw it work for 5 games. The last two are a disaster because Dyson has gone 0 for 5. Dyson has been a legit negative offensively. That's like either or there.
Justin, he's 20. First of all, he's 20. Cut that man some slack.
Someone said that to me at the game tonight.
You've seen progression in Dyson's game this season. You have. You've seen
it. I agree. I've given Chris his flowers. I think Dyson's a good player.
Fuck Chris. I think he's a good player. Talking about Chris. Talking about Dyson.
Okay. This guy, Enterprise 1230. Ross, more importantly is Chris has kicked out Lito. Closing lineup, go ahead.
Depends on whether you're winning. Yeah, it depends on whether you're winning or losing.
Two-point game against Sacramento. Give me your closing lineup.
We're up to?
It doesn't matter. Winning or losing, whatever you want. That does not matter.
How the fuck does it not matter?
Closing minutes in 4 minutes to 2-point game. What does the fuck does it matter? We're winning by two, okay? With 4 minutes left. Who's your closing lineup?
If we're winning by two, then I'm going CJ. I'm going with the starting lineup.
What? You're not closing with Trey?
No, not if we're winning. Not if we're up. Not on his first game back.
Bro.
No.
That's crazy.
You said his first game back, Justin?
I don't give a fuck. It was CJ's first game back tonight. He closed. I don't care.
It's a huge, huge difference in a type of player. CJ absolutely has to be out there because he does the one thing that not a single other person on this team can do, which is facilitate and can control a game. When Jonas needs the ball, CJ understands they can get him the ball. He's not a true point guard in the sense of the word, but he's the one guy we have that can at least somewhat slow things down, I think, and get us organized a little bit. That's not Trey Murphy at this point is going to be, I think, just purely a floor spacer. Maybe, you know, a put back here and there. To me, it's an easy answer for closing lineup.
Chris, do you think Zion could guard Sabonis? If we're talking just Sacramento, like just closing lineup, do you think Zion could guard Sabonis?
Yeah, I mean, if he tries, sure. You know, I mean, honestly, I think when Zion locks in as an on ball, sometimes he can be
there. There you go. Sorry, go ahead, Chris. You froze up. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think if Zion if he tries, I think when he applies himself on ball, especially against guys that aren't quicker than him, and even some dudes that are, like when he's stands, I think
you're freezing up again, Chris.
Yeah, Chris might be breaking up. Chaz, go ahead. Kind of finish what Chris is saying.
Do I think Zion can guard Sabonis? Yeah. I think it might be a little disrespectful to Sabonis. Sabonis
are pretty. Well, when I say guard, I don't mean guard, I mean more of contain. Can he win a couple possessions? Do I expect him to stop him every time? No, but in closing minutes, can you
get closing two minutes? Stops?
Yeah,
nah, can you get a I think Sabonis too smart. Got too much.
They probably put Fox and Sabonis in a pick and roll and just kind of just
probably because the only hope with a guy like Sabonis is you pushing him way off of his spot. And even then, you know, he's a pretty crafty, smart player, knows how to get to the line. And I think the best neutralization for Sabonis would be JV, because JV is a pretty solid defender against opposing slow-footed bigs. I wouldn't put Zion in that situation.
Rebound. You're not gonna get a rebound. That's gonna be the biggest issue.
That too.
In that situation, you're gonna get just mauled on the boards.
Chris, you're back. You can finish. Go ahead, finish up.
I don't know where things got left off, but
it was just more like Zion guarding Sabonis, and talked about it. But yeah,
as long as he applies himself, when he applies himself and he gets into a stance, I think Zion is actually. He can show flashes of an above average on ball defender. I think he, you know, even against some guards and some switches, like tonight, he had a couple of possessions against Maxey where he did okay. It's really all about him trying, not gambling, not reaching and failing. If he tries, I think it can work. I do want to say something about that closing lineup. You are going to pay Trey Murphy over $100 million at some point.
Oh, wow. And
yeah. So very, very soon. If that's going to happen, which it will, you are going to need to see what that lineup of CJ, Herb, Trey, Zion, and Brandon looks like. And you are going to need to commit to it even with its rough spots and it fails sometimes defensively or from a rebounding perspective. So I don't know when they're going to do it. And I'm not saying that they're going to do it out the gate, but that's the death lineup. And at some point, I think we have to see it.
Chris, have they ever done it?
Yeah.
They've closed with Zion, Trey, CJ, Brandon, and Herb. Have they it's like, I'm not being sarcastic. Have they?
No, I don't know if they, off the top of my head, I don't know if they closed with it, but I do know that we've seen it for, you know, a handful of games.
Sure, you see, but we all know closing lineups is just completely different. That's just the game right there. And I'm interested to see it. This was an interesting comment. Lito, no, where is it? Someone said put Herb on Sabonis.
Yeah, to me that makes the most sense.
No, it does. I don't fuck. Who said it? Here it is, James. James Beard. Lito. He says put Herb on him. Do you think in closing lineups, and we're not talking about the Kings, but Herb could guard fives, because we've seen Herb guard Jokic and we've seen Herb guard Cat. I vividly remember Herb was guarding Cat in that last game of the year last year, and he did okay. Do you think that the Pelicans could possibly get away with that? and putting Herb on the five, because where they can, like, because you can't use the PNR, right? Because Herb would then just switch on to the point guard, and I guess Zion or Brandon would be on the big. But what are your thoughts on that?
I feel like if Herb can guard Jokic, then it's not much better you can get. So
I don't necessarily think he was successful at guarding him, but like
he was decent. Okay. I mean, he did okay. He did a good job against Cat. He was solid. I think let me ask you this though. Why JV can't guard Sabonis?
I never said that. I just think that your money lineup is those five.
I'm just saying we saw two games in a row where he just really played.
Are you really gonna count JV closing tonight? Are you gonna count that?
No. I'm strictly talking Sabonis. I'm just talking about guys.
I don't mind that, but you were
feisty tonight. Did you have something to drink at the game? Are you?
I had a couple cocktails. Holy, that's not a pause moment, Chris. That's not a pause moment. You know how it gets, Chris. You were just down there. Open bars. We might need to go to commercial. That group,
the death lineup that we're all referring to, look, I think we all see the potential of that group offensively. Until we have any level of confidence or any experience or any data or any game film that shows me that someone in that group of five players is going to consistently get contested rebounds late in games when you have to get them, it's hard for me to sit there and say, like, oh, yeah, we gotta run with that. Who in that group is going to get you a tough rebound?
That's a good question.
I'm serious. Answer that question.
I think honestly, Brandon and Zion can do it when they want to do it. I think Brandon can get a tough rebound.
Who in that group is going to consistently has shown you that they will consistently get tough rebounds late in games? I'm not saying who can do it. I'm not saying who has the potential to do it. Who has shown you so far, hey, we need a big rebound, let me go get it. Let me find a way to box people out and do this, that, and the other. I hadn't seen anybody in that group show me this year. So we're talking about our point guard being the guy that's going to go in there with the 7-footers that we're going to be relying on consistently. I got to see somebody in there show me an identity of, like, we all know who the one guy is.
Chris, we all know who the one guy is. It's Zion Williamson.
Part of this though, Ross, and Ross is still, he's right. But the issue is that Trey is going to have to improve as a rebounder at some point. Like, he has to.
Do you think he can?
Huh? Yeah.
I think he's the one guy in that five that can.
Yeah. I mean, and we know he got stronger over the offseason. I agree that that's an issue, masking it or trying ways to avoid it, I don't think fixes it either. Like, they are going to, just because you put Jonas in the game and you put Jonas in the game to close, or you put, you know, another center out there to rebound, it doesn't mean that it fixes other people's problems. I think they need to be forced more to go out there and rebound together. And the only way that they might be able to do, you got to throw them into the water. And the only way, that's one of those type of lineups to where they have to figure it out. And Trey can't be 6'10 and having 3-4 rebounds a game. You know, Borrego's told him that. You know what I'm saying? Like he can't do that. Zion can't be 6'7 and even 70-80% of himself and giving you 4 or 5 rebounds. CJ can't be the one getting all the tough rebounds. B.I. gets some tough rebounds from time to time. I'll give some credit there. Herb should be able to grab some more rebounds. But that should be the lineup, and rebound, it shouldn't be the reason why it won't work, even if Ross has a point.
Can I answer that? I think even like the basis of the question may be a little difficult to answer, just because this team has so many, even like the best players have so many deficiencies, like for as the little things and attention to detail. I think with that specific lineup, you're just worried about outscoring people. You're not worrying about defending nobody.
Exactly.
You're not, like, so it don't really, like, you're going out there trying to create open looks for Trey and for CJ, and, you know, and create space for Zion, or hopefully Brandon. Maybe you put Brandon in the corner and create looks for him. That's really all you're trying to do. You're not really worried. And that particular scenario, it's a run and gun type situation, because you don't really have any strong defenders out there, and you don't really have any like top of the notch rebounders out there. So you're really just looking for guys to be disciplined and be as good as they can be offensively. So I wouldn't really worry about defense too much. I know one thing, in that situation, you can't be trading difficult twos for threes. Like, and that's the only thing I would worry about. That would be my point of emphasis, is trying to run them out the gym, shoot the three, get the offensive boards, create lanes for Zion to drive, kick out, get to the free throw line, etc. But I wouldn't be worrying about defense or rebounding necessarily in that particular lineup.
Chaz, can I ask you back another question? Because you make a very interesting, and I agree with this point, is you want to outscore guys down the stretch. And a lot of people think like, oh, you got to get stops. And I see Schmidt tweet this a lot too. I think you got to outscore people at the end.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about like people like, well, who's going to guard Jokic? Newsflash. Nobody in this world can guard Jokic. Nobody in this world can guard Embiid. Nobody in this world can guard these LeBron James, Anthony Davis, these type of players. So what does it matter whoever's guarding him? Like, I get it, but like, you got to outscore guys.
It's like tonight, it's some of the substitution patterns I even saw tonight where I was just like, you know, from an offensive standpoint, yeah, of course, you're going to go with Jose over Dyson at this stage because of how Dyson is shooting. Jose is a better offensive option. But I'm like, you're getting to the point where you're starting to play prevent basketball. Like I said, before that last maybe 60 seconds, Zion had one shot attempt in the fourth quarter. One. And it wasn't even like a real attempt. He got fouled and he shot two free throws. So that was the one attempt. It's like, no, you gotta, at this point, you know that you're not, you know that teams are really just missing shots, like missing threes. Right. Once they start to make shit, it's going to balance out and it's going to tip the scales in their favor. So you have to continue to play the brand of basketball that gotten you to lead the entire game. This is a very front-running team. Every lead that we've had, with the exception of maybe one Kings game, we've relinquished all of the leads because we start playing prevent basketball. And that's a really big Willie Green problem, because it's carrying over from last year. Those two losses against Utah on the road last year, we were up by like 16 points in the third quarter. You keep doing the same shit, playing this, you know, run the clock out, settle for a difficult shot brand of basketball. And tonight, you almost got – it would have been a soul-crushing defeat if these motherfuckers came back tonight. So, come on.
Yeah. Lito, before we get to you, I'm going to ask you about Jordan Hawkins, but make sure you smash that like button. Helps out the channel. Appreciate everybody in here tonight. Lito, if you're a box score guy, you look at Jordan Hawkins, 4 of 10, 3 of 8 from deep, but man, I just love his game. I mean, he hit 16 points tonight. The way he shoots the basketball on the move, just the movement. They had a new set tonight. It was in the third quarter. I think Brandon Ingram found Hawkins on like a double screen. It was like, it was definitely a new set. I hadn't seen this set all year. And then the NBA comes out today that Hawkins is in the top three in the rookie rankings, right, with Wembanyama and Chet. What did you see from him tonight? And do you think that, you know, moving forward with this team being healthy, do you think he should be getting 20 plus minutes a night?
That's tough, because Trey's a guy who's going to get upwards of 45 to 30. He'll get starter minutes and not, you know, necessarily be considered a starter. But I mean, that's tough. I think I'm gonna tell you this. The answer is with his type of shooting, like it's gonna be hard to keep him off the floor, dog. Like it's gonna be tough. Pause. That was crazy. It's gonna be tough to keep him off the floor. His shooting is it's like a lightning rod, right? Like it catches everybody. Damn, that was crazy.
No, I'm laughing at what's not saying. That's funny. Like, we would have won this game going away if Jose ain't come back.
That's crazy. Hey, I feel like, man, Hawk shooting is just like something that like it excites the team at this point. Like they're like, when he gets going, like it provides energy, especially like the type of movement shooting you see, bro. Like that's different. It's just a different element to the game. But Justin, I got a question. You said if you looked at his box score, if you're a box score guy, like what do you, I guess, why you say that?
I would say 4 of 10, 3 of 8 is like not impressive.
37% though.
No, look, to me, like I'm like, I'll take that all day. 16 points.
The rebound.
5 rebounds, 2 assists. He has 5 rebounds again. He's 3rd on the team in rebounding.
So he's providing 2 things for you. He's providing shooting, and he's providing either offense or defense in ways where he doesn't even have to score.
I think he's providing 3 things. He's also providing space, which is enormous for Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram.
Well, he's also getting to the rim. Like, he's shooting free throws. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he shoots our technical free throws. Our rookie shoots our technical free throws. I mean, that shows, like you want your best shooter, the most trusted guy on your team to shoot those free throws, and Willie's guy is Jordan Hawkins. It's not Brandon. It's not Zion. It's not CJ. It's Jordan Hawkins.
Hey, Justin. It ain't rocket science. Yeah, I could just look at the motherfuckers who got to shoot. He the best one out there.
So, I mean, Ross, you know, going forward past, you know, Toledo's comments, what do you like? To me, I think Hawkins deserves 20-plus minutes. I don't think I'm crazy for saying that. I really don't. And I know Trey's coming back. I know CJ deserves his minutes. And you got to have Najee minutes and Dyson minutes and so on and so forth. But to me, 19 games in, this dude has deserved 20-plus minutes a night.
No, I agree. I mean, no, I agree. I totally agree. I've said this from kind of for the last few weeks for sure. I think when everybody gets healthy, you're not really going to see many Jose minutes. You're not going to see any Matt Ryan minutes.
I disagree.
A lot of those guys. Who's he going to play? Tell me, who's he going to play over?
I think he plays over Najee.
He's not. He's just not.
You want to bet?
So how many minutes is it? So is Najee out of rotation? Got personal.
I think, yeah.
You're not going to play 12 guys. So it's not Najee's out of the rotation.
Yeah. I think Zeller's out. Najee's out. Yeah. I think Zeller, Najee, and possibly Jose. How do you bench? Like Lito just said this. How do you bench? What is he shooting from deep this year, Lito? What's he shooting?
I forgot the
47%.
It was high 40s though.
Yeah. You don't just bench that. Like, you just don't. Like, you can't. You can't bench Matt Ryan. I don't give a fuck if he can guard me. You don't bench him.
Yo, the solution is fucked up. Shout out to Larry. Appreciate your service, man. But it's to give Dyson all of Larry's minutes at the 4. And then, like,
who would be your 5? Chaz, who
they just got a rebound. PJ Tucker, it's a situation where PJ Tucker isn't the 5. The Toronto didn't have a traditional 5. These motherfuckers got a rebound. These big 6'10, 6'7, 6'8 motherfuckers, you got a rebound. You got to start eating some protein. Like, you got to start, you know, rebounding. Like, because look, Zella, a dude like that, Zella and JV, them enforcer type dudes, you supposed to put them out in the game every once in a while. Like, not JV because he's such a threat offensively, but Zella, that's a dude you supposed to throw out there every once in a while. Them dudes not supposed to be like regular rotational guys. And Larry, he just, even if Larry was 100%, I still don't know what he would give you that's better than what Dyson can give you at the 4. They're the same height. You know, Dyson's a better rim protector, in my opinion. He can rebound better, in my opinion. He's not as goofy with the ball, in my opinion. You got to start consolidating some of this shit. It's too many, you know, 6s and 5s. You got to get some bad bitches out here. It's too many 6s and 5s.
Like, you gotta, that's crazy. That's the crazy thing you're saying. I'm going to let like Chris go.
Before Chris goes, no, because I want to answer your question. Yes, I think Hawkins should still there's no scenario where he shouldn't get 18 minutes a night, but this lineup you have on my screen right now wouldn't get a shot off.
What?
They don't got no shot.
Dyson's a point guard. What are you talking about? Of course
they wouldn't get a shot off.
Being facetious there. you think Dyson creating some kind of shots?
Of course. Before I get to the stat, you don't bench 47% on 5 attempts. Those aren't DMPs, bro. Like, what are we talking about, Ross? I'm sick and tired of the disrespect you give to Matt Ryan. Lita, Chris, go ahead to Chaz's point about Larry. Sorry. Had a couple comments.
Well, I ain't going to make that about Larry, but, you know.
No. Which point?
The whole.
Well, I just feel like Dyson should get those back up 4 minutes, and, fair. You know, they just go small 5, I guess.
I mean, again, like I think like opinion versus what I think is going to happen are just 2 different things. Like I would use, there's a bunch of ways I think you could be flexible with the rotation and who you throw out there. But I don't, they're going to bring some sort of center out there. So whether it's Zeller, or whether it's JRE or whether it's Larry, somebody's going to be out there, even if it's for 10 or 15 minutes a game. And you already, even though Jonas, you know, Willie seems like he's been depending on Jonas a little bit more, like their relationship is getting better. He's another, I mean, a 22-minute Jonas game is around the corner. It's just going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, in reference to what Larry brings you, that's a different conversation, just because, like, I think putting Larry at the power forward position is silly. Like, you shouldn't even do that. We should never be looking at Larry in JRE minutes or Larry in Zeller minutes. Larry, the only way Larry works is him being a five in this situation. It's the only way he works on this particular team is him playing backup center. Those are where you get whatever you feel like he can really do well. It has to be at that position, not power forward.
That's interesting. That's fair. Anybody want? Go ahead, Chad.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and that's what's so frustrating about the team building aspect with the two max play. Well, I don't really count, because CJ's contract is declining and CJ's been an exemplary leader. That's what's so frustrating about the leadership aspect, because it fucks up how you can construct the team. I look crazy as hell not wanting to give Larry minutes after he called this meeting and kind of got these guys a little bit, you know, more together. And like, you look crazy, but at the same time, you paying Larry $10 million to do this. Like, you know what I'm saying? And he can't really give you a good 6-7 minutes on the floor most nights at this stage in his career. He could be dealing with injury. I'm not sure. But it's such a tall order and price to pay for, like, leadership. Because I think you see it every night. This team desperately needs a backup point guard. Like, they desperately need it.
And I think they can address that, Chaz. I really do. Before we get into I want to answer this, Lito. I want to answer this question. 220 people in the room. Appreciate y'all pulling up on a Tuesday, Wednesday night? Make sure to hit the like button. Can we please just hit up the like? Just hit the like button. It's very simple. Man, presented by the Company Burger, located 4600 Ferret Street. Lito, see, like, and I appreciate your comment, Killer Cam. You can for sure not play Matt. I'd point to guys like Steve Novak and Mike Miller that were phenomenal shoes, but they're pros and now with their cons. Guys, Mike Miller.
I don't know if you could put Mike Miller with
Steve. Mike Miller was a final.
Mike Miller was a fucking dog. Like, he was playing without a shoe at one point. Like,
Mike Miller was at Florida. Like, he was a dog. He came into the NBA. Like, he could dribble. Steve Novak, he's a catch and shoot guy. Like, Mike could create his own shot if he wanted to.
But Lito, could you just you can just sit 47% 3-point shooters, as Donald said, five attempts?
Not on this team.
I want to hear Lito's thought, and then I want to hear Chris, then Ross, then Chaz. Because Ross, you're ridiculous, dude. Go ahead.
I mean, look, listen. The Pelicans. Well, you adding Trey back into this, right? You got CJ, you got good shooters. Your shooters are CJ, Trey, well, now Matt, I guess, and Hawkins, right? So to me, technically, like, that's all the shooters on this team. Other than that, no one's advantage is shooting. Like, the Pelicans' strength would be in the paint. I think you definitely, if you have that type of shooting ability, like those guys who can get hot, I think you play him. I'm not saying play Matt 20 minutes. Like, I ain't saying that at all.
No.
But I'm saying he should at least get between 5 and 7 minutes like that. I don't really see, because, and then at the end of the day too, like, he plays decent defense. Like, he will get 5.
Can you explain decent defense? Can you explain?
I mean, he gives effort. His Matt is a slow footed white man. He's not just gonna. I'm not expecting him to be in Chad's words, a modern day athlete. Like, yes, Jimmy T, yes, only four. Yeah, who is no more? Listen, this is the thing. He's not gonna be a guy to be an elite defender. I don't expect him from that, bro. But he gives effort, he gives a fuck, he tries. I get it. Sure, James Beard.
You know, with shooters too, I think sometimes you just play the hot hand too. Like, look, I think Hawkins is dope, but sometimes
the lies.
He got to calm. Hawkins got to calm down sometimes. And sometimes he's not going to have it. He's going to hit the rookie wall at some point. And then you'll see a larger role for a guy like Matt Ryan. But I think you really just got to outscore people with this team. And I trust Hawkins because it's like it's the same thing as guarding Jokic. Who going to guard him? Nobody. Who going to guard fucking De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Maxey, and all that? You don't need Jose to do that, or you don't need – you know, some of these guys do that. You could just put Hawkins out there. Nobody gonna stop this motherfucker anyway. You just need to be a deterrent. Like, you just need to be just enough. You know, it's all about outscoring people with this team, in my opinion.
So Chris, do you agree that whatever the original comment was, you agree that Matt needs 0 minutes?
I don't agree that he needs 0 minutes, but I think you can build a rotation without him.
I didn't.
Wait, hold up, Ross. Just hold up. Just
Ross up, bro. Turning red, boy. Ross, sick of this Christ. Shit. Ross is sick of this shit.
Like, this is... Go ahead, Chris.
All right, you think... Justin, you think the Sixers are a good team when Embiid's out there?
They're great. They're one of the best teams in the league.
How many good shooters do you think they have on their team?
They have... Let's see... Maxey, Batum. I mean, I guess Tobias is fine. Kelly Oubre, before he got whatever happened, pretty good. Embiid, I think, is pretty good. Then besides that, that's about it.
How many guys? Huh?
He doesn't play. A good shooter.
Yeah. He doesn't play. And Kelly Oubre is not a shooter. But go ahead. How many people did you name?
No, four.
Okay, four. So if the Pelicans bring back Trey Murphy into the lineup, you're going to have Hawkins, CJ, Trey, and I still think Brandon Ingram, at worst, will finish the year as a good shooter if he decides to shoot enough. If he shoots enough of them, I think he's still going to finish at a good percentage. I don't think he's a bad shooter. So you're right around there with 3 to 4. I mean, how many shooters do you think you're gonna need out there? Personally, I mean, I think Ryan can play, and I do think you got to find minutes for him. But to say that you can't build a rotation without Matt Ryan is crazy.
Wait, is that what you're saying? Because I wasn't saying that.
Justin is saying that this man needs to be part of the rotation.
Y'all are fucking crazy for this.
This man was driving Lyft.
Ross, I don't care what he was driving, Lyft, Uber, Justin, whatever the fuck Justin, it was, listen, dude.
You guys are looking at one very singular thing.
I'm talking 8 minutes.
There's room. Sure, you want to give Matt Ryan between 3-5 minutes a night if he makes some shots, give him 8, knock yourself out. This is the fucking NBA. We are just running out there anybody that can play. Look, if Matt Ryan goes, he shot the ball great, and that's all fine and good. We're literally sitting here having a conversation about whether Matt Ryan, who I would say if he didn't hit the shot against us on the Lakers last year, not a motherfucker in here would know who Matt Ryan was. Before season we picked derailing, him up off the street. Lost. Okay, season derailing loss from last year. We all remember it.
That's tough.
We're sitting here having a conversation about how many minutes Matt Ryan should get when this entire team is healthy. What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. But see,
like,
Ross,
if he plays 3-5 minutes and hits some shots, awesome. But like, this is comical.
You're legitimately going to sit. 47%. You're give him a DMP. Meanwhile, Max Strus is on my TV in the NBA championship series, but fucking Matt Ryan can't get regular season minutes.
You compare Max Strus to Matt Ryan?
We're on totally different wavelengths. You just called Kelly Oubre a shooter, Joel Embiid a shooter.
Go look at the stats. Kelly Oubre is a shooter this year.
Yeah, a shooter. That's exactly. You're looking at fucking 3 or 4 games. I could go show you some games where Dyson Daniels went 3 for 5, 3 for 5, 2 for 3. Dyson Daniels a shooter.
So no, you're going to bench 47% on 5 shots.
This is the best Matt Ryan has ever shot in his entire life.
So you're going to bench that. So you're going to bench a guy that's having a fucking career year.
It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
You don't. No, you can't just say that, dude.
He has. It's not
sustainable. The only skill he has is one of the most important in the NBA. It's one of the most important in the NBA.
Best shooting year in the history of NBA basketball. He's Steph Curry. Is that what you're sitting here telling me? That this dude's going to shoot 47% this year? Please tell me that's what you're saying so I can get off the stream. Is that what we're talking about? Because if he's going to shoot 47%, why is he starting? If he's going to shoot 47% from three, he should be starting. So do you really think he's going to shoot?
He did start and had a career night. Actually, he had fucking.
So you think he should be starting?
No, Ross.
Don DeMarco.
Ross, you're talking about DMPs. I'm talking about this dude getting 8 minutes.
I told you he can play 5 minutes. That's cool. Let him play 5 minutes. That's cool. He can play 5 minutes.
Yo, can I say to Ross's point? I understand Ross's point though, because it's like tonight. That's why I said what I said about Zion's game. Because I'm like, when I watch Jokic, Jokic is Jokic, right? But when I watch Jokic just walk into fucking like triple doubles, and he just doing all kind of fly shit, passing behind the back, just doing all kind of incredible shit, and I'm like, man, he's incredible. But the team around him makes that so like available to him. Zion had 5 assists at like the end of the first half. This motherfucker ain't get another assist until like the fourth quarter. Like, and it's like, bro, you gotta have some scores out there. But it's a shame that the Pelicans always depending on Brian Roberts, instant grits. You know what I'm saying? Emeka Okafor out the G League wearing a fucking SpongeBob uniform. You know what I'm saying? It's a shame, Gary Clark Jr. It's a shame, Dan the Man Dickow. It's a shame.
Just about to be upset.
Tim Frazier. It's a shame that we always gotta depend on these dudes. Like, but Matt Ryan is the great find. I would not bench Matt Ryan. But still, it's a shame that, you know, fuck, you got all these lottery picks for where you go and get a dude who work at Publix somewhere in the back making home style fries.
Shaming Matt Ryan. That's a fucking
we're
shame.
Not shaming. This is the problem.
Why is it?
What's a shame is that we had to just spend 15 minutes having this conversation, because I don't have anything against Matt Ryan. I really don't. It's a cool story. But like, Quinn Cook shot like 45% for a team that won like 73 games, and you know what they did? They cut that motherfucker.
I remember Quinn Cook. That was crazy.
Hey, I got a dip for a minute. I'm coming back. I got to restart my thing. Y'all keep it going. I'm coming back in a minute. Y'all keep going.
Yo,
I think of things in terms of the playoffs too. Like, I really do. Yeah. And I understand the playoffs are not the regular season. And I know I'm going overboard about this whole thing. But when I think of this shit, it's kind of like what Chris was going back to. Will this lineup work, right? Like, we're talking about the what we call our death lineup. So, like, that's how I think of the NBA. Is there room for Matt Ryan and guys like that in the regular season? Sure. The dude from Denver that lit us up in Denver, the little rookie that has barely played. Strother.
First game against us.
If a dude gets hot, you leave him in, you play the hot hand. But right. I really think about things as like, if I'm building a playoff rotation, like Matt Ryan's not in my playoff rotation. Come on, God.
Look, and this is the comment right here. Bro, you gotta make it to the motherfucking playoffs. That's the thing. You need real deal players to consistently make it, because with these our two max guys again, you don't know what you're getting from them from night to night. You don't even know these motherfuckers going to be available from night to night. And that's the problem. So, like, Hawkins, credit to him. But Hawkins, there's the recent phenomenon. Like, his shooting is a more recent phenomenon, because the top of the season, he wasn't shooting well. You can't keep depending on these rookies and these journeymen. Like, you got to get some – you got to get, like, a real backup center and a real professional point guard. Like, you got to establish some goals. You know what I'm saying?
So, he shoots like Ray Allen.
And Chaz, to your point, the reason that this, like, I think this is actually just wrong. Like, I don't, like, I totally disagree with this comment, because I think it's the opposite. Unless you're talking about the role players being like Herb and Trey, like, nobody's playing 11 guys in the playoffs. So I don't care. Like, I don't actually care about those guys. You're right. Like, in the playoffs, you're probably playing 7 guys, maybe 8.
Probably 8 at the most.
Here's the thing. And here's why I even made the show about December. Because I feel like if the team wins games, if they're competitive, if we're looking at the All-Star break and they're 8, 9, 10 games over 500, some of these dudes that's on the bench ain't going to be there anyway, man. they're gonna like the team won't look the same. They're going to make trades for upgrades. So instead of Matt Ryan, we might be talking about Bogdanovich, who we know is gonna play. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just an example. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think the Matt Ryan, like it's cool now. He's a great story and he's getting you through a period of time. But even talking about the rotation, if they take care of what they're supposed to and they win enough games, they are going to make trades. So all these dudes that we're talking about, whether it's Larry Nance or whether it's Matt Ryan or whether it's, Jose or Najee, they're going to be upgrades more than likely that this team can finally center on, because they can say, okay, we got health, we got results. Now we can go get who we need to get to make somewhat of, you know, the final pieces towards whatever the hell that turns into.
Yeah, that's a good point. Chaz, you want to say something quick?
I wonder about that only because I know we were talking about Kyra moving on from Kyra. And I think you got it because we don't have no seconds because we gave all the seconds away with Devontae. So I really think you got to attach a first to Kyra because that's really your only asset. Or you letting him expire and you're going to go into the text. So I'm like, well, fuck. I think they in a weird position because you don't want to have to move Larry because the locker room is so fickle and brittle. I don't think anyone, you know, in the fan base can deny that at this point because the players ain't even denying it. So I'm like, well, fuck, you can't move. Look how great JV's playing. You can't move JV. You're not moving. You don't want to have to move Dyson. You're not moving Herb. So I'm starting to wonder, like, where's the move out there? Because who the fuck want Larry Nance? Who the fuck want Kyra? Who the fuck want Cody Zeller and EJ Liddell? Like, nobody really want these dudes, really.
Justin Savior, Matt Ryan and Cody Zeller. Fitting. Chaz.
Chris, that's out of control.
Yeah. Chaz, how many of those guys are expiring?
JV's expiring, Kyra's expiring, Cody Zeller's expiring, and Najee might be expiring. Yeah,
so
Najee.
So you have, I mean, we're not talking about high level upgrades here, right? So you can get to $15, $16, $17 million worth of space. And depending on who you're trying to get, you may not need to spend that much. You may not need to be able to spend that crazy. Like, okay, who cares at this point about if you have the mortgage at first involved in this? You have a few expiring. Yeah. You have somebody with Larry that is, that is going to help salary wise to some respect. That's going to put you in a spot for one of these role players that's coming in off the bench, if you are including him. So I don't even know if it's about a one in regards to the player. There's going to be teams that want these guys based off of them being, I would say, expiring along. And you have enough first round picks to make a move at this point. This wouldn't be like last year, you mortgaging the first and you know in the building Zion ain't coming back. Okay, if you're in a position to finally make moves now, I think between the expirings and the picks you could put up, if you can match the salary, you could get a mid-level player, you know, a dude to come off the bench to upgrade, what, guy 7 or 8 off the bench?
Yeah. I just wonder, because we already in the tax, I wonder if you fall into a situation like last year where another team, it's an inflation now, because I know you have to get out of the tax. So now, whereas I might have asked you for one first to take on, let's say we talked about Taj Jones and Gafford in the thing, right? Let's say one first to take on Kyra and Larry for Gafford and Taj Jones. Now I might ask for two first and a second. Now it ain't a big deal because you're like, fuck, you know, I got first to spare, but it's like, well, damn, I've never really seen Griff overspend except for the Devontae Graham thing. And it's like, fuck, you know, it's just an interesting situation because I highly doubt they want to get rid of Larry now. And I understand it because Larry, I mean, just because, man, you move on from Larry and that shit regresses back to the norm, it's going to be Oh man, it's gonna be
ugly. I think CJ's.
That's why the two dudes so disappointing with that situation.
I think CJ's important. All right, so we're getting our last segment of the night. Appreciate everybody pulling up. Make sure you smash that like button. Lito from Lex, who is always in the stream. We appreciate your support. Pels in the in-season tournament. Let's talk about it. How do you feel? How do you guys feel about the matchup in Sacktown? Lito, do you think they have a shot to win that game, especially the rumors saying that they're going to be fully healthy?
I mean, they just beat them twice in a row, so I would say – I say that I would. I think this is a Chris question, to be honest.
All right, Chris. Chris. Hey,
damn, Lito. He's so sassy. He's so sassy. All right, Lito. You ate today? Why are you so
bad? No, because man. I want to talk about Herb Jones. That's what I was like.
Oh, I had, you know what? I had it started. I had to restart my computer, but someone talked about, all right, you know what? Fine. This is what we'll do. Lito, you talk about the Herb Jones chase down block like LeBron, and then Chris will close it out with Sacramento with Chris, Chaz, and Ross.
My bad, Lex. That wasn't you. Like, it was a good question. I was just like,
me? I had a good question or no? Lex.
No, not you.
So do you want me to take that comment? Yeah, I haven't had a good question. I haven't had a good show tonight. Do you want me to take down the comment and give it to Chris, Lito? Pause.
No, I mean, I could. So listen. I think they'll play. Think they'll play well against Sacramento. I feel like they do match up well with them, especially if we're going to be healthy. You know, Sabonis is a guy who can score points, but is more of the, I guess he's the point guard on that team. He's the facilitator. So he's the guy that gets, you know, them going. I think that if you do put, you know, like you were saying, the closing lineup, if you do put Herb on them, I think that Herb will do a good job as far as like cutting off Sabonis' path to assist, but then you take in the effect of like maybe he then just starts posting Herb up and scoring. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying it's gonna be necessarily easy, but I think that's probably like a path that they take. Then you still gotta worry about Fox, right? Like, do you put Dyson back on Fox at that point? I think there's an interesting matchup because I don't think Malik Monk played well any game that we played, not that I can remember. And then, you know, you got to think Keegan's been
in the shooting. He had a big shot down the stretch, I think, in that second game. Malik Monk had a big shot, but.
Yeah, he did. You're right. And Keegan's been in a slump, right? So, like, maybe at this point of the year, it turns around for them. Like, the lights may have been too bright for Keegan coming back into a second year, and maybe he figures that out. I mean, they got a solid bench. Herter didn't play well. You know what I'm saying? So, I think it'll be a good matchup, but I do think the Pels can win.
And Chris won't even be in attendance, but Chris, what are your thoughts? You think they got a shot of winning in Sacramento?
Yeah, because like Lito said, I mean, overall, I think it's a good matchup that still favors the Pels. I think that there's a difference of playing in Sacramento versus playing in New Orleans. And, you know, whether that means Keegan Murray comes back or not. And then, like, yo, I think that there will be a difference in – it's going to be different between – having Dyson out there guarding Fox and having Herb playing off ball, then having Herb guard Fox and, you know, the rest of your defender. Like, you know, who knows how that looks. But I still think Sacramento, even with Keegan coming back, they don't have any kind of defense. And we've seen that in both games. They don't have an answer for Zion and Brandon Zion or Brandon in a lot of looks. Now you add CJ to the fold. They, the Pelicans offer more problems. If they execute, I think it's a game that they can win if they come out with the right energy, even on the road.
Chaz, go ahead.
I worry about the Fox CJ matchup. I mean, they may just have Herb on them, but I worry about the defense with that matchup, and specifically if Keegan Murray. I need to know if Keegan's playing and he's kind of like returned to form. I think you see a bit of a different result, because as you saw, like, you saw Fox get better as things progress. And also, if Trey is playing, much like tonight, I wonder who's taking the sacrifice, who's taking the hit as it pertains to field goal attempts. And because you got to give Trey a few looks to get into his rhythm. John Hawkins, you know, he ain't never seen a shot he don't like. And, you know, I felt like I worry about them integrating the new pieces into the system. That's all. Wait, and CJ is not playing, right?
No, CJ he's not playing Chicago. He's playing
not playing Chicago. He's playing okay. He must be from Old Block. But so CJ, so I just worry about them integrating all those players into the offense. But I think it's gonna be an interesting game on the road. I think I got the Kings winning that one.
Okay, Ross.
I think the Pels win the game. I don't think we're a good matchup for the Kings. I said this last week. I'll say it again. I just don't think they have anyone that really can guard Zion successfully. There's not many people in the league that can do that, but for them especially, because they don't have kind of your traditional rim protector, deterrent. I just think that we're not a great matchup for them. And especially if Keegan Murray's out. If he's there, it gives them a little more shooting punch. They can spread the floor a little better. If he's not there, that bench is awful. I'm not sure that anybody even in this chat can name three guys coming off their bench right now. Can anyone in here name me three guys?
Herder.
Justin, can you name three? No, Herder.
Herder and Keegan.
I'm sure.
Can you name me three guys coming off the bench?
McGee, Monk, the guard Trinell. From Houston.
Monk and McGee, there's two.
What's the guard? Trey Lyles.
And who?
Trey Lyles. The guard from Houston, I can't think of his name.
I don't even know who that is. But Davion Mitchell comes off the bench.
Mitchell, Mitchell
it's
from
really
Baylor.
Not a strong bench. It's not a strong bench.
Okay.
Especially if we're fully healthy. I like our chances. I don't think they're a good matchup for us. I think we have a better bench. They don't have a matchup for our strengths. A lot of teams do. They don't. Look, anything can happen. They could get hot. We could lose the damn game. But I'm saying, and I usually don't say shit like this, but I think the Pelicans win the game.
Do y'all, real quick, do y'all think this is a big deal since we've already beaten them twice? It's hard to beat the same team three times in a row. Do y'all factor that in or no?
Utah don't care how many times they whoop the Pelicans.
I knew
that was just a toss up.
That's loser shit. You played the team in front of you. Fuck that.
That's fair. I'm trying to lead out. I'm getting Lala to upload the video of the Herb Jones chase down block. So you can talk about Herb Jones and we can sign off. Is that fair? The Kings are fraudulent.
That's cool. I guess while the video is loading, I wanted to say I noticed the Pels did a wrinkle against the zone tonight, started putting Zion in the middle of the zone,
yep,
the free throw line, which opens up the floor for him and he can see the shooters, which I think was, I wanted to just give the coaching staff some credit because that, you know what I'm saying? Like we talk about, you know, how bad the fourth quarter tonight was very fucking shaky.
You're not worried about like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the fourth quarter tonight was very shaky, but I want to give them credit for, you know, maybe watching some film and seeing something that they thought they could exploit in the zone, maybe going forward. So shout out to them.
That's a good point. Chris, were you surprised to see, like, before the Jose injury, were you surprised to see Dyson? I guess he wasn't even the sixth or seventh guy off the bench tonight. I don't want to call it this, but do you think he got like demoted a little bit tonight, or like was it kind of like a new rotation? Because he went from starting to what?
It's crazy you asking Chris the Queen. That's all. Go ahead.
No, I'm not really not trying to be you can't. I mean, he crushed me tonight for Cody Zeller. I mean, if he wants to talk about you want to talk about Cody Zeller, go ahead, talk about Cody Zeller. But I figured
he played what 14 minutes tonight.
He was just playing 40 the other week.
But you know what? I think he made, you know, I think it didn't feel like he was out there for 14 minutes. And I really didn't have I didn't have an issue with it. I was surprised. I thought he would be off the bench before Jose. But
that's what I thought.
Like I've given him, Jose's going to play. No matter what you want, no matter what I think, what I prefer, Jose Alvarado's going to play. And if Najee is the first person off the bench or the second person, and then you bring Trey back and Jose, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting, man. But I still think Jose Alvarado is gonna play minutes. So it doesn't really surprise me. I think the thing I'm really curious about, like Denver, for example, they didn't play a backup five. It was either the Denver game in New Orleans or it was the Dallas game. It was one or the other where they just punted backup center position. And I'm pretty sure it was a Denver game. I'm curious when healthy, will they choose to trying to give Dyson minutes, similar to what Chaz was saying, if that's the route that they go a little bit more often, because you're gonna have to play Dyson at some point. But if it's for 15 minutes, I think he'll make the most out of him. I mean, so I'm kind of surprised, but no, because I know Jose and Najee are favorites of that staff and that group, man. I mean,
that's interesting. Lito, here you go. Herb Jones,
yo, Chase, man, block
of 30.
The shout out to AD because he pointed this out during the broadcast. It's important to note where he started from in that play, as far as like getting the block. And I don't even really think he got a block. I don't think he deflected it. I just think that his presence made miss it. I talked about this the last pod. You gotta have guys to give energy and effort and do the little things. Herb Jones is a winning player. Herb Jones is a player who plays championship level basketball. He does not have star talent per se, but he elevates his ability to elevate other people's defensive profile while they're playing with him because they believe in him so much is crazy. Because you notice at that point, like, that shit was, it made the team was like, oh shit. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Then I come down, right? The next possession, Brandon's blocking Mo Bamba. Brandon's getting deflections on the perimeter. You know what I'm saying? Like, it made everybody feel like, damn, if he doing that, bro, like Herb Jones is a spiritual experience on the defensive end.
Good to see our guy Five in here. Five covering the game tonight. Shout out to Five. Five, if you want to join, obviously you can always join. Chaz, what did you think of just that Herb play? It's obviously, I don't think he blocked it, but he definitely altered the shot. But it's just you're up 26. The game's out of reach kind of right at that point. He doesn't give up. He alters the shot. Like, what does that say, I guess, about Herb Jones? Just who he is.
I think I'm going to use a football analogy. I think he got closer to blocking that shot than Cam Jordan has gotten to a sack in years. And I think I think that guy who attempted the shot, I don't even know who the fuck that was. He had I can't say he had a Derek Carr moment. He was just Derek Carr. Just totally blew the fucking layup. Could have dunked it. But you know, it's funny because he dunked it the next time he had the opportunity. So he knew he fucked up. It was a total Reggie Miller, Tayshaun Prince moment. But Herb, phenomenal, man. That wingspan's crazy. It's like Herb's a guy. He takes 1-2 steps, flushes a dunk easily. It doesn't really look like it takes much effort for him to finish at the rim. Incredible wingspan. And just doing what Herb does. I feel like it's almost like Anthony Davis to where you're almost not giving Herb enough credit because you've grown so – it's so normal at this point. But it's like it's a phenomenal play to not give up on that possession. Shout out to Herb, man.
Chris and Ross. Chris, just Herb Jones in general, last couple games. You know, Five watching this right now, but Five called him the leader of this team about a week or so ago. Do you agree with that and why? Because, like, to me, that kind of play that just, like, when you're up 24, like, that's what leaders do, in my opinion, right there.
I think he leads very well by example. Now, to be a leader, you got to have followers, right? So I don't know how many people necessarily follow her. That's the thing that I would question. I heard the comments, but I not, you know, that would be something, you know, a better question for guys that are there, you know, for Justin, for, you know, yourself, for Five, people that are in the building and watching how people gravitate around her. I think when he's on the floor, you know, he adds a different level of, I think I did this now, yo, you got to give him, you know, you got to give extra effort as well. But I think for me to call him a leader, I think I would have to see, he doesn't necessarily have to be more vocal, but I wouldn't have to see him be more action based on the floor, pointing out some things, pulling guys over, you know, pulling dudes over to start a conversation with him, maybe directing a little bit more. I see him on the bench talking a lot to whoever next to him. He had some conversations with Brandon that seemed positive. I don't know if I'm there yet, you know, but I get the sentiment overall. Oh, you know,
man. Shout out to you, brother. Appreciate
yo, before you go forward, Chris, you had a dog. We talked about this before. I don't know if it was on the pod or not, but I asked you that same question. And you told me, like, your answer was it was honestly decent at best this time. But like before, you told me that he wasn't the leader, but you said he was the most important player. Like, can you explain?
So you want me to get disrespectful? That's what's happening. You want me to be
no.
Herb doesn't look, bro. He doesn't appear to me to be a leader. He's not in the middle of the huddle. He's not a vocal guy.
No. My point was to lead you more to,
what,
like,
you want me to say?
Talk about, you said he was the most important. I wanted you to explain why you said that.
Well, I mean, because he does everything on the floor, and he's the only guy on the team that can do that can and does every single thing on the floor. Anything on a basketball floor that you can design, that you can ask a human to do, Herb can do it. And there's no other Pelican that, maybe some have the ability, but they don't execute on that consistently. Herb's the only one that I can say that he's going to give the best efforts, regardless of how it goes. You can put him in any type of situation, and he's capable of doing that. I don't think there's anybody else on the floor that acts on that as often as he does. So that makes him most important.
Ross, close it out with, hey, with Herb.
I mean, we don't have to belabor the point here with me too much. I think it's an interesting kind of little back and forth that Chris and Lito just had, because in a lot of ways, I do think Chris is right. You could make an argument that he's the most important player, most impactful to a certain degree, I guess, in the sense that he's kind of a Swiss Army knife. And I think in some ways he is a leader. I don't know if he's the leader of the team for literally the exact reason Chris just said, because leadership involves, yeah, people have to follow you, but it involves being vocal on the court or being kind of the centerpiece of what's going on. And I don't think we can call him necessarily the centerpiece of what's going on, both from a verbal perspective or from a true basketball perspective. I mean, that's not to diminish Herb Jones. I wish he would be more verbal, because I think if he was a little more assertive in that regard, we might be surprised who would kind of take to his style of play and follow him a little more and start to pick up on some of those traits like you talked about. Hey, look at what Herb's doing. You know, he's working this hard. I got to go work this hard. But I just don't think that might not be in his DNA to do that yet.
Well, Pelicans are 10-9. Play San Antonio Friday, Chicago Saturday. Appreciate everyone pulled up tonight. Make sure you hit that like button, subscribe. As always, presented to you by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk. Before we get off, let's make sure we hear from DraftKings Sportsbook. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms. See y'all Friday night. Lito, what you got?
Derek, you a bum. Stop stealing money, you bum. Trash ass.